Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Bucks and Six. I am one of your hosts, RJ Zimmerman, here with my good friend, Monte Ball. How you doing, big guy?
I'm good, man. All is well. All is well. We got a lot to cover. Not really a lot. Probably just the Bucks. We'll see. I'm rooting for Bucks. I'm rooting for them, but I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. I don't see them winning this. I don't see them winning tomorrow's game. But before we get to that, we obviously got to talk about the last game. But before we get to that, even RJ, how are you doing, man?
I'm fine. I'm not tired at all. I'm ready for this vacation to start.
Right. Same. Yeah.
Pre-vacation stress is something that people don't talk about enough. I think people talk about it, but I don't think we talk about it enough. You know what I mean?
So true. Yeah, and indeed.
Post-vacation stress is a real thing as well. But I tell you what, this paperwork, it ain't coming in fast enough as far as the final stuff that you need. So,
right. Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and get to it. So, first off, I wanted to say something. So, I watched this last Bucks game, right? Well, we all have. Hopefully, we all are watching the games. In my opinion, that was one of my favorite games, Bucks games that I've witnessed in a very long time. Might be number one for me. That game was electrifying. That stadium looked obviously packed, but just electric. Really, really phenomenal actually performance that I saw. And one thing I wanted to kind of touch on as well, too, is the refs. These refs just said, forget it. We're not blowing the whistle at all. We're letting them play some aggressive basketball. And I'll be honest, a lot of people didn't like that. I loved it. I liked it. I like it because, look, just let them play. Let them play. They were out there straight banging, straight street ball. Loved it. Loved every minute of it, actually. My opinion, well, I'll let you go ahead and I'll let you talk first before we really dive into it.
You got to win your home games if you're going to win a series. And that's what they've done, right? That's what both the Suns and the Bucks have done. They both held home court. So now it's a best of three. Anything can happen. I feel like that block that Giannis had in the fourth quarter is something that can carry momentum through these next two games. That is a type of a play that can get in somebody's head and multiple people's heads at this point and can help. I thought they lost that game. I'm not going to lie. Through the first three quarters, they played dreadful. For them to get tied at halftime, it was like, what? The first quarter, they couldn't even make a layup.
That's Booker, though, man.
A layup.
Because of Booker.
And, yeah, I mean, Booker played well. I'm talking about the Bucks right now, though. Like, the Bucks are bad.
No, I'm just saying, like, they were tied in half because just Booker just didn't miss all game.
Yeah, but no, the fact that the Bucks were tied, though, I'm saying. Like, the Suns were playing perfectly fine, but the Bucks were able to keep pace, which is like, I thought they'd be getting blowed out the way they played.
That's true.
And then
that's true.
That fourth quarter, you know, Middleton comes through clutch. Middleton, but he didn't have a good game till the fourth quarter. I'm sorry, he didn't. And
he scored 43.
I know, But going into that fourth quarter, he's 10 for 26. I don't care.
Yeah, it's not the best.
I don't care. You got 30. You 10 for 26. Dude.
What was Giannis? They both had the same points. What was Giannis, though?
Giannis was good. When I looked, Giannis was 8 of 13, I think.
This is my thing. If the Bucks win the series, I hope Middleton gets the MVP. I do.
No way.
I do.
The Bucks are not in this series at all if it's not for Giannis. Like, listen.
Middleton's
scoring like crazy, right? But Giannis is affecting the game on both sides. Both ends. And Holiday played well without
Giannis.
In the previous series.
Right. But and then right now, this series.
When Giannis is out, the Suns take advantage.
Did they win? Did they? I can't even remember that fast, that soon. Did they win when Giannis was out? This series. Or no, Giannis he hasn't been out not, this series. No. He's not been out this series at all. That was the next series.
What did he score? 32 and then 42 and 40?
Right. I got it. See, I'd give it to Middleton. Middleton just seems like, here's the thing, like they say the heart and soul, right? They give Middleton the heart, Giannis the soul of the team. My honest opinion, I think that this team needs Middleton. Obviously, yeah. They need Giannis. Let's be honest. Giannis is great. Giannis is phenomenal. We understand that. But in my opinion, from when I'm watching the games, to me, yeah, he's taking bad shots. But, hey, shoot yourself out of the slump.
That's what he did. Do it, baby.
Middleton, in my opinion, is the guy. He's the guy. Because I think that you can really neutralize Giannis. They haven't been doing so, but I really feel like both of them on the court is a problem. I think with just Giannis on the court, I don't think the Suns would have that big of a problem. But having both Giannis and Middleton, that matchup, that's a Scottie Pippen. Not Scottie Pippen, MJ. It's just a very effective duo.
So my thing is, Middleton hasn't affected a game like that Giannis block. And Giannis has had multiple plays like that this series.
That block was good, but I think it's pumped up a little. Have you watched it recently?
Are you kidding me?
Have you watched it again, though?
Slow-mo?
It's not that impressive. He didn't even like come running, flying, and smack it. He just jumped and blocked it. When was the last time you played defense?
I just literally watched it again because it's that impressive.
That's not that impressive to me. If I'm 7 feet tall, you better block shots.
Against another 7-footer who's about to dunk it after a lob when you stop the dribble penetration and you turn around and you have
to take the steps to get there. It's not that
impressive. My goodness. For somebody who gives everybody credit athletically, I cannot believe you're not giving them credit.
It's a good defensive play.
That's a phenomenal defensive play. There might be one other person in the NBA who makes that play.
There's many other people on Twitter saying the same exact thing I'm saying. There's a huge thread about it. Yeah, it's impressive, takes, but it's not like his last one. It's not like his last one running full speed on the court and trailing somebody and blocking it. This one, that's why this one doesn't look impressive, but it still is impressive. The timing of it. See, that's my thing. I think you guys get really emotional. The timing of it, you're pumping it up because of the timing of it. The timing of it was perfect, meaning the time of the game when it happened. But that block, take that block away from, like, out of that quarter, out of this series. That's just a block. That's just a one-step block. Mm-mm. It's just everything around it. The timing. I don't think you watched it again. See, I'm going to pull it up right now.
It's in the fourth quarter, late in the game. Any game. You take a regular season game. Fourth quarter, late, and the team.
See? You see what you're saying? I told you. You're putting everything else around it, which is heightening the block, if you take that block out, meaning if you just take it and it's just a regular game, that's not that impressive of a block. But again, you're saying fourth quarter, game four.
And you know what? He's not that impressive.
That's hard to disagree with.
So yeah, that block here's my point. He comes over.
It's a really good block.
Penetration and turns around and blocks an alley-oop. Are you kidding me? That's not impressive. Who are you?
That's not that impressive to me at that height.
Listen, if he blocked a
dude,
guard,
the rim is 10 feet tall.
You need to listen to what you're saying, though.
RJ,
if
that's
he
like
blocked
us.
A guard, somebody who's 6'5", he blocked another 7-footer's dunk on an alley-oop.
He wasn't.
After he stopped the dribble penetration. Dude, that Fjord play is
right
special.
Here.
Everybody that knows the play.
Nobody. It's a really good play, but it's not as pumped up as it's the timing. It's the fourth quarter. It's the game four. It's this finals. That's why it's so pumped up. But that's not. I've seen Giannis put way better plays on than that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not taking anything away from that moment. I'm just saying I've seen it. It's being pumped up way more than it needs to be. He has way more electrifying plays than that. Giannis does.
Unreal.
Because to me, there's even NBA players that even talk about Giannis too. They're like, being 7 feet tall, I hope that you can do that. There's a lot of people aren't that impressed outside of this state with that. But it is important, and that is what he needs to be doing on the defensive side of the ball. But if as a coach, I'm expecting you to do that if you're 7 feet tall. That's like us blocking somebody, dunking on a 8-foot rim. That's legit. 5'11", blocking somebody, dunking on an 8-foot rim who's 5'11". You wouldn't be that impressed if I did that.
I cannot believe this. This is like saying hitting a
would you be that impressed?
Mile per hour baseball is easy.
You
That's what we're talking
would
about
be,
right now.
Would you be that impressed if me, 5'11", blocked somebody else who's 5'11",
dunking
on
a dribble penetration, turned around and blocked an alley-oop? I would be impressed. That takes a lot of athleticism. And then you're going to
Did you play basketball in high school?
Yes, I played basketball.
Did you play against me.
Okay. I'm really good.
Because to say, I want to know if you played any sort of competitive sports, like at a high level, because I respect the play, but it's if you're 7 feet tall, that is like damn good play, like good job. But okay, like people are taking still photos of it, and again, I'm rooting for the Bucks. I just don't see it in that play. It's a great play. I just don't see the hype around it. Is all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. Determination is a great question. What do you think of the LeBron James block in the finals? I'm assuming you're talking about the chase down against the Warriors, against Iguodala. That was possibly the greatest play in NBA Finals history, period. It saved the game, completely turned it around. And it's the type of play takes the wind out of the other team, like, completely. Like,
it
that's
does.
What this play could be. This is that type of play. Because you thought you had a guaranteed alley-oop slam dunk to keep.
Right. It was
the
important
Suns
timing.
In this game. And
that's what I'm saying.
Giannis blocks it. Not just blocks it. It doesn't matter when it happens. That feat of athleticism.
But you keep talking about when it happened.
Because
that's what I need
to take into context.
But that's why I said what I said, whereas if you take that out of the context, the block is just a regular block. The timing of it makes it that much better of a block.
That play can only be done by a handful of people. I don't care what you say. Stopping a dribble penetration of somebody who's going almost full speed and then turning around when it wasn't like he picked it up and threw the alley-oop, he flicked it up. So he had no idea he was going to alley-oop it. He has to turn around, see where he is, get to the top of the height on a 7-footer who's strong about to dunk the ball on an alley-oop, and he's going to block it? And you're going to say that that's just a regular block? Like,
that is,
dude,
that is a regular block.
That is not a regular block.
That is a regular
Robin
block.
Robin Lopez
again,
blocking a floater is a regular block. Stopping a dribble penetration and turning around and blocking a dunk is not a regular block.
I'm not that impressed with the block. Because if you're 7 feet tall, if I'm the coach, I expect for you to do that. I really, really do. I really expect that. If you're 7 feet tall, I better see some blocks. Anthony Davis in college, 111 blocks in college, 111. I expect it if you're that tall.
Yeah, I expect that in college.
That is a major.
That's the amount of players who aren't the best in the world.
It's a major advantage. So 7 feet tall at his height, his length, his wingspan, I expect that. I'm not saying it's not good. It's a good. It's great. I'd rather that happen than obviously him getting dunked on. But the fluff that's around it, it's not that impressive. It's not meeting. It's a really good block, but yeah, we're just gonna have to agree to disagree again. And I'm rooting for the Bucks. I just don't find that to be that impressive of a play to me, because it's like me 5'11". Going against another 5'11 person, if I block them trying to dunk on an 8 foot rim, I'd
again,
be like,
you have to do something before you block the dunk to make it as impressive
shuffle.
As that block.
You just shuffle your feet.
No,
he just
don't.
Shuffled his feet.
No.
You stop penetration.
You
shuffle
because you don't know defense. Apparently, you have to do more than just shuffle your feet to stop a drive, and then you have to turn around and jump and block it. I'm sorry.
Okay, all I'm saying
is,
did he shuffle his feet or not? Yes or no?
To get over
to stop penetration.
That, it was more
than
a shuffle. He got in of him.
I'm saying to stop the penetration of the dribble.
Did he get his feet in front of him to stop that penetration?
Did he shuffle his feet? Yes. And then all he did is shuffle and then turn around, pivot, one step and block. If you were coached by professional coaches, you would understand where I'm coming from. That is not something that people rant about, because you're at the highest level of your sport. That is not that impressive. You better be able to do that. That's just all I'm saying.
When we see other athletes
expectations.
Make plays, when we see other athletes make plays, better come with that same energy. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Oh, for sure. Here's my thing. I'm not saying it's not bad, but for me, even LeBron James' determination had a great question. LeBron James's blocks to me are not that impressive. Maybe it's just me with blocks. They're not that impressive to me, because it's like me blocking people on an 8 foot rim. I'm not going to go home and rant about it. It's just jumping and blocking, jumping and smacking. It's really good. It needs to happen.
You also have to put the player on the other end on it. So blocking another, like blocking Robin Lopez is not the same as blocking DeAndre Ayton going in for a slam dunk. I mean, you know, it's like when you went up and you blocked Amari Stoudemire, who was about to dunk, like that was a big, an absolutely huge deal. You know?
Determination is a great point. Determination is understands where I'm coming from. Which was my entire point. You take this play out of the finals. It's just a really good play, but it is impressive to see that in the finals. But again, I'm just looking at it, you know, from objectively in a sense, or subject, I don't freaking know, standing back and kind of just viewing it. Outside of the finals, I'm like, that's a really good play. Okay?
That's a good play. You put on
a
highlight
play.
Reel for defensive player of the year. If it's in a first quarter of a regular
defensive
season
player
game.
Of the year,
yeah, that's what Giannis is. He's the defensive player of the year, and that's what you put on a highlight reel, because that play, you didn't just affect one person; you affected two people.
That was a very good sequence of defense. It most definitely was. It's just me. It's just that advantage of being 7 foot whatever. It's like, okay, you better be doing that. That is something you better be doing. Determination. DeAndre should have had that dunk. I'm not saying it wasn't a good play. It was a good play. I'm just talking about the noise that's surrounding it. I just don't understand the noise. No, I do understand the noise, because it's the finals. Because it was 1 minute and 30 seconds left to go in the game. it's just the emotions around it are heightening that play. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
A lot of time on this block.
Well, it's a big play. It was a big play.
I just got a snapshot into your mindset that I haven't gotten before. So this is interesting. Especially when we talk about athletic plays, like you're the first to like go, you know, fundamentals and be like, yeah, it doesn't look impressive, but that is a really impressive play. And I'm a little surprised that you're downplaying this, but that's okay. Like, you know, we're going to agree to disagree. We get fired up. We debate. Oh, yeah. We argue.
For me, it's
that's okay. What do you need to see? Okay, the series is tied at 2-2. We got a game tomorrow night in Phoenix. Mm. No road team has won yet in this finals. We could basically say it's 0-0, best of three.
Right.
What do you need to see from this Bucks team for them to pull off a win in Phoenix?
Well, they got neutralized Chris Paul. I mean, that's just what it is. Chris Paul at home has been shooting lights out.
Yep.
I mean, he's been driving. He's creating any shot imaginable. That's what he's been tired. Doing.
I've heard that people think that Jrue Holiday is wearing him out a little bit and he's tired.
Oh, I've not heard that.
Because
Jrue Holiday has
not had a good offensive series. Jrue Holiday has had an amazing defensive series. Like, yes. He is tenacious.
And I love it.
Game one, like in the second half of game one, he has been in the face of those guards every second that they have that ball.
Right. Jrue Holiday, most definitely. I mean, he's like full court pressing. He's like full court press on Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. He'll go down and make a shot, and then he just stands there and waits till they inbound the whole team, all four, is on the other side of the court. He's just standing there waiting for them to inbound the ball just till he can take Chris Paul. So, yeah, Chris Paul is annoyed with him because I did see Chris Paul shove him. He's starting to shove him pretty aggressively off of him. So he's getting out of Chris Paul's head. That's got to continue. But that's just my thing. My take is they have to figure out how to neutralize Chris Paul, because what he's doing at home in Phoenix is he's creating any shot he wants. Mm-hmm. He is. And knowing that they're switching picks or on the picks they're switching, they're trying to create that mismatch, obviously, for Chris Paul. And as soon as it happens, it's over. I mean, he's creating any shot. He's driving to the hole if he needs to. His move is to drive and hit a 15-footer, some type of floater or side shot, some random throw up that's making it, that's sinking. Yep. So they figure out how to at least cut 15 points out of him. Bucks win this game for sure. Book, we cannot ignore Booker though, but I'll let you go. We cannot ignore Booker.
Yeah, I mean, it's the guards. It's figuring out that pick and roll, which they've been playing pretty good pick and roll defense. Yeah, those guards are, that's why the Suns have had such an amazing playoff run, is those guards. It starts with Paul and Booker. And then if you know, Bridges gets hot, it's like, what do you do? You know, there's just nothing you can do. What the Bucks need to do is honestly go with their game two game plan and then make your free throws. So the shots that they got in game two were really good shots. Like, I like their game two game plan better than just about any other game that they've played in this series. Their game two game plan was awesome. The offense that they ran, they have to hit their shots. So I think you hit your free throws, right? Because obviously Giannis struggled with that, but then the entire team started to struggle. Robin Lopez, who's like an 85% free throw shooter, was like 0-4 one game in Phoenix. It's like, what? So hit your free throws. And just don't pass up good shots, right? And I don't think that the Bucks do that. Sometimes I think they force a lot of shots. Particularly like when Bryn Forbes comes in, or Pat Connaughton, or sometimes PJ Tucker will force a bad shot. But if they get into this hero ball mentality in Phoenix, they're not going to win. It's not going to happen. They'll come home. They'll figure it out. Fiserv Forum, man, everybody is absolutely praising Milwaukee right now. Like,
Of course. Here's the thing. If they win this next game, I'm actually very jealous at everybody that was at that game. Very jealous. was watching it in the living room, and I was like, this is a very, very, very exciting game.
So
very
exciting. You fill up the arena, and then you have 25,000 people outside watching
outside.
It. And that's what they've averaged, too, on away games for people to watch, like, on the jumbo screen outside the arena. Like, that's unreal. Yeah. Wisconsin fans, we're showing out. We want that championship.
Absolutely. And
always
I think
the
if
bridesmaid,
the Bucks,
never the bride.
If the Bucks win tomorrow night, game five, Bucks are winning this game, winning this series in six. I really believe it. Back here in Milwaukee, I just need for them to, God dang, man, Booker, this last game.
He's a superstar.
First off, like I said, he had like 19 fouls. Don't understand that. We can get into the whole refs conversation for sure. So we all know how Booker played. Booker's phenomenal. They need to figure out how to neutralize him as well. One or the other. You can't have both, especially here back in Phoenix. You can't have both of them get on fire. Neutralize one of them, preferably. If I had to choose which one, I would choose Booker. Seems like if I had to choose one or the other, you neutralize Booker because it seems like he is on fire right now. He's on fire. Chris Paul, they can figure it out. But anyways, enough of that, because we already know how well they play. What is up with these refs, RJ?
I don't know. It's
how do you not call that last foul on Booker?
It's very interesting what they decide to call. So I don't know if you saw after, what was it, game three, when Monty Williams complained about Giannis getting to the line so much, and at Giannis's post-game press conference, he had scratches down his arm. And Monty Williams is complaining that he's getting fouls called. And it's like, hold on now. This is your game plan, and you're going to complain that your game plan is working? But
it's working. Did you remember what I told you? I was like, when he drives to the hole, they are tackling him.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, these aren't ticky-tack fouls that they're calling. This isn't James Harden hooking an arm and like throwing some unbalanced.
This is a very physical finals. Like, very physical.
But it does, like, you know, Chris Paul obviously carried the ball and they let it go. Like, it's just been, I don't know. I don't know if they're nervous.
Why?
I don't know what's going on. Yeah. But it's just, there's just these weird decisions. And then you're going to call some offensive fouls. And this is on both sides. This isn't just, like, against the Bucks. This Phoenix, too.
Yeah, Chris Paul got
offensive
angry
foul, and you watch it, and it's like, what are you calling here? Like,
did you hear what Chris Paul said?
No,
he was like, I read Chris Paul's mouth when they called that. He said, "You're gonna call that bullshit." And he like swore.
Yeah,
it's like so true.
And determination. So he makes a good point. Like down in Phoenix in Game One, the Suns, I think they had 25, and they made 24 or 25 free throws in Game One. That's why they won Game One, but. You watch a lot of those fouls, and it was kind of ticky-tack. I think they've been better since game one, for sure. But
are these the same refs?
Yeah, it's the same. It's
for the whole.
Yeah,
I didn't pay attention to that. I did not pay attention to that.
So
I did not pay attention.
Usually, how the NBA does it is they pick the refs based on like performance through the season and then performance through the playoffs. So it was like. Yeah,
I don't get it. Here's the thing. You understand missing calls. You understand. Yeah. I understand sometimes letting them play. I get it. You know, I actually would rather refs do that. Let them play as opposed to you guys changing the outcome of a very serious, you know, game. But how do you miss that call against Booker, which would have fouled him out? Granted, late in the game. Game was already decided, but still, it'd been different if it was maybe just a smack on the wrist and just let it go.
It wasn't quite decided yet because it was still a close game. That game was not like, in my opinion, it could have turned around. You know, you hit three, you get a quick stop, you hit another three, and
true. I mean, but yeah, I think you guys were up by seven. So yeah, I mean, still a close game, but how do
you
miss
remember
that?
Robin Lopez with the shot clock violation when you're up by three, you got the ball with seven seconds left, and all of a sudden shot clock violation and Kevin Durant's hitting a, you know, tie it up or whatever. It's like the one thing you can't do.
Who pointed? Was that Drew? Was that Holiday or Middleton who pointed at the shot clock?
It was
when
Holiday.
He was like, "Are you freaking oblivious or what?" Yeah. But yeah, that's just my thing. How do you miss Booker full hugging Buddy in the air, going up for a layup, and not call it? I just don't understand that. I don't understand.
It's an odd decision. Determination says, you know, do you want him in there to play? Judgment call, do we take the best player out when the game is close? I don't know if that one's a judgment call, but
you just gotta call a spade mm-hmm. a spade. That's a blatant foul.
We all know the game is called differently in the first quarter compared to the fourth quarter. I mean, it's the same thing in the NFL too. Like people argue about it.
True.
It shouldn't be, but it is. It is. It's because context does add a lot. You know, whether you're talking about
when
you're going to call a foul, like when you're going to call a foul and stuff like that. It's just.
When you're talking about an average block, but it being in the fourth quarter and minute left to go in the finals.
Yeah. I don't really want to focus too much on the refs because I feel like, sure.
Right.
They can't.
They've been good.
Help. You know, outcomes can be helped or hindered by. Officials, but generally speaking, there's multiple points in a game where you as a player had a chance to change the outcome and missed. So
absolutely.
I do wish it was consistent is more what I wish. If you're going to be bad, but you're consistently bad. Okay.
That's a problem.
Okay. But if you're inconsistent and I don't know what a foul is, or I don't know what a carry is when you're dribbling, then that's where I get frustrated as a fan. That's the same thing
I see in the NFL.
If you're inconsistent and I don't know what a hold is on offense or like a defensive holding, or if you're inconsistent about it, that's when I get upset compared to if you're going to call it the same way.
Yeah, that's why. Yes. Really good point, because they were letting both teams play. It'd be different if they were just letting the Suns play.
Yeah.
Just hacking at you Bucks. At the Bucks, but no, they were letting both teams play. But still, just something like that. He just literally hugged him, pretty much, and hooked him with this arm, hooked him with the left, and swat with the right. And like, that's just crazy. But it's going to be interesting. Game 5, 8 p.m. tomorrow.
Next week, well, I think we will Central know time. Who the NBA final champions are.
Indeed, this next game is.
This is a fun finals and
very important.
Well, you know, a lot of people say that the NBA root for big fan bases, right? Or like big markets to be in the finals and stuff. This finals is like more watched than I want to say the last two or three. So that's fantastic.
It's a very exciting finals. I'll say it. It's more exciting than I thought it would be. Most definitely, because I. Early on, I'll be honest, obviously, probably what everybody thought when they went up 2-0, I was like, ooh.
I was worried. I was like, the Bucks are going to get swept and they're going to embarrass Wisconsin, because guess what? That's what we do. That's what we do. When it comes to big moments, we don't show up.
That's why it's just.
See the Wisconsin Badgers.
Doing all of that, right? Doing all of that in game two, it's again, we will agree to disagree on the block, but it's just. The heightened emotions, I respect it. I understand it.
Why I'm defending that block so much, because at real speed, I was like, oh, that's a nice play.
And you didn't expect for him to get over.
But then I watched it in slow motion, and I've watched it like 20 times, and I'm like, every time I'm like, okay, this is way better than what I originally thought. That's why I'm defending it so much.
So. No, I respect it. We're gonna have many agree to disagrees on the cast.
Center on Aaron Rodgers, absolutely. So
can't wait. I still think he might be going to Denver, but
yeah, we'll see.
Game 5, in order for the Bucks to win, this is not a hot take. Everybody knows this. You got to figure out which one to neutralize. You're not going to neutralize both of them.
I don't think
Booker or Paul.
I want to know the way that. The Cavs teams, and honestly, the Heat teams, sometimes you neutralize them, you let LeBron get his, and you guard everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about Devin Booker. You let Devin Booker get his, and you guard everybody else. You give him that star treatment. And that's what I think they should put
let him have it.
Connaughton, put anybody who you rotate out a lot, put them on Booker. It's okay. Like, and then you play defense on everybody else. You don't want to put Middleton on him because you don't want Middleton to get tired up for the offensive end. Because one thing, Middleton's not a great defender, but he's an effort defender. And you don't want him to output so much effort trying to guard Booker, and then he doesn't have it for the offensive side. So, and then you just keep Holiday just harassing Paul.
He's just harassing. Harass I love it.
Paul. You I just love it. Tear him down, right?
See, to me, that is more impressive than that one play block, because Holiday is playing what? How many minutes would you say he's playing? 40 minutes, maybe? 43 minutes?
He's at least 37 plus, I'd say.
At least 37 up and down the court with somebody who's got some speed on him, Chris Paul. That two different kinds of plays, in a sense. We're talking consecutive sequences as opposed to just one obvious play. So it's not the greatest comparison that I'm making here, but I would be exhausted if I was Holiday.
And you can exhausted. See it in his offensive numbers. Imagine if Holiday gets, has a, like in game 5 and 6 against the Hawks, if he has one of those games, like.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blowout. Hawks. It's going to be a blowout. If Holiday earlier can be somewhat efficient on the offensive end, it's not even going to be close.
It wouldn't be. And here, let me correct myself. Just this stuff is actually going by a lot faster than I anticipated. I said last series Nets. That was two series ago.
Yeah.
Now, geez, Bucks got to be exhausted.
That's what we were worried about after game one, because they looked it. And then they came out in game two and they played well. And it was like, and they didn't look that exhausted.
I, for some reason, completely forgot about the Hawks. They just like disappeared.
I mean,
obviously they lost and went home, but
they're also the Hawks.
So true. so true. But it's going to be exciting. So yeah, we will know next week who is the champ, and it could be closed out.
And game we're going to be on vacation
in Milwaukee.
We're not planning on recording a sports podcast, but I tell you what, Bucks and Six, we're recording something and we're putting it out.
Oh yeah. I'm rooting for the Bucks. I most definitely am. Most people probably won't probably not believe that from this episode, but I most definitely am rooting for the Bucks. I want to see them win because I like the team. I like how there's not really this standout. I mean, obviously Giannis is a standout athlete, but when I say standout, I'm talking like Kobe, LeBron, that standout superstar, stardom, let's build a super team around him type of team.
So when you put, we're talking context, right? When you put the context of Giannis around Giannis, the fact that he started playing basketball at 16 years old.
Right.
And he's 26, so he only has 10 years.
That's crazy.
Of basketball, and he's doing this.
That's crazy. That's pretty impressive. I cannot even lie.
That's
impressive.
Like you said, you put that on some people, and it's like, oh, okay, but man.
No, that is a very impressive fact, because you've only played basketball for 10 years, and has he won MVP, what, twice? One time? Twice? I think it was. Has he won the MVP twice?
Twice. It was back to back. This is the
You've only been playing basketball, the sport, for 10 years.
Yeah.
Not in the NBA for 10 years.
And he's won
the sport.
He's won Defensive Player of the Year, I think, 3 times.
That's very impressive. See, that's the stuff I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That is a fact that Bucks fans need to keep ranting about, because that's a very, very impressive stat. I like that one. That's because you don't hear that a lot. I mean, obviously you hear folks starting out, me playing football at age 8, basketball players starting at age like 5, 6 playing basketball.
Can we talk about how Giannis needs to be protected at all costs? Because he is like, he's like that innocent, naive kid who just has this joyfulness about him that he needs to be protected at all costs, period. Don't let life get to him. Did you hear his post-game press conference?
I didn't. What did he say?
So,
as soon as the game was over, Giannis, I turned it off.
Giannis, you keep leaving games kind of early in the first quarter or leaving the court. What are you going to do? Are you getting something worked on? And he goes, no. How do I say this politely in English? I go to tinkle. I go to take a tinkle, and then I come back. That's polite, right? That's his exact words. I just go to tinkle. What's up, Nick? Good to see you, man.
What's up, Nick, man? I go to tinkle. Good for him. I like the kid. I really like the kid.
Well, you know, I one really of the like things him. That he does that I saw NFL player, I can't remember who it was, post about it. Dude will airball a free throw, and he'll laugh at himself, and he'll go down, and he'll make a great play, then go and knock down two free throws. Like, dude's got no fear and no memory.
You can't have it. You have to quit. It's short-term amnesia.
Right.
That's for all sports. You got
all sports.
Especially when it comes to like football, fumbling the football.
Three-pointer. He comes down two plays later, two series later, and nothing but net. Like,
through it. That's what they always tell you. Keep shooting. If you're a shooter, and we're not talking about somebody who can't really shoot. We're not going to tell you to shoot yourself out of the slump. But if you know, obviously, this person is a shooter. Giannis 15 footers. I want him to take those until the freaking, what's the saying? The cows go home, or whatever the hell that saying is. Keep shooting, keep shooting, keep shooting. Good shots. Good shots. Good shots. And if you keep missing them, keep shooting until you get out the slump, but good shots.
And that's where I get a little frustrated, because sometimes Middleton just forces things. And that's when they're playing hero ball. And that's when I get frustrated. So big congratulations to Nick in the chat.
Congrats,
Nick. Buying their first house. That's awesome. That's amazing. You know what would make it even better? Bucks and six, baby. Bucks and six.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that. Bucks and six. I'm rooting. I think they can do it. I really think so. Phoenix seems like a tough place. We'll play them tough anyways.
It's loud. It is loud.
It seems like it, yeah. And it's Chris Paul. Chris Paul wants a ring.
Yeah.
Chris Paul wants a ring.
You know, this is like the only time I can remember as a sports fan where I'm not going to be like super upset if the Bucks lose because of who Phoenix is in it as a team and Chris Paul getting a ring.
They're a very respectable team. They play the game the right way. They play aggressive, but so are the Bucks. PJ Tucker is very aggressive. But
they're not dirty. They're not a dirty team.
They're not.
Like, you know, they give effort. It's not like it's just easy for them. Like, I don't know what it is, but I enjoy watching the Suns play basketball. Yeah. And maybe it's because I'm just not the biggest NBA fan. But like, usually I'd be super disappointed. I mean, you remember, I'm still not over the Packers losses from the past 2 years, let alone, you know, the Seattle one, or there's a lot of Packers losses that I'm still not over, or there's some Badgers losses that I'm not over.
Same.
And even that championship loss against Duke where they lost because their coach lost it for them. Like, that gets that gets me frustrated. But
us against TCU.
See, that one
coaches.
That does not frustrate me because I thought it was the right play. I thought it was the right play, and it was a heck of a defensive play.
Although, talking about the last play. I'm talking
average.
About.
I mean, if you're 6'5", you should knock down a pass. So that's pretty average.
That play wasn't that impressive to us because he just. All he did was just, if I try to remember correctly, I think he was just standing there, right? Yeah, and he just jumped and knocked the ball down. I'm talking about before that. We should have just kept the ball on the freaking ground. Jeez. But anyways, I think.
Determination says the LSU loss to Wisconsin is the one that he can't get over.
Why did they stop giving the ball to Melvin? Why, Determination? Determination.
No, when LSU lost to Wisconsin. That one was lost to LSU.
Oh, sorry. See, I'm thinking of – my bad. I'm thinking of – see, I'm just straight Wisconsin. I'm thinking of whenever LSU beat Wisconsin. Yeah, right? That no, was that should have been 2014.
It was in Lambeau. That was the year the interception and then the offensive lineman like came up and hit him like 10 seconds after the whistle.
Mm-hmm. Like, but was it didn't spot. Melvin was balling, wasn't he, early on? I'm pretty sure he had like 100 and something yards in like two quarters.
Yep.
And they stopped giving them the ball after halftime. I'm like, what are we doing? So, but anyways, I think the Bucks can pull this off. And I'm rooting for them. Right, I really think they can do it.
Yep. It's exciting.
I really think they can do it.
We will. Let's get into a little bit of, did you see Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s home run in the All-Star game?
I did not. I did not catch the All-Star game or the home run derby.
Who is like one of the Brewers' aces. The Brewers apparently have three of them because they're unbelievable. I don't remember ever seeing a pitching staff this good as a fan. It's awesome. Anyway, so Corbin Burnes, just a meatball. Like, he didn't spot it well. And, I mean, as soon as it was hit, everybody was like, oh, my. Like, 468-foot bomb in the All-Star game. Like, I mean, just absolutely smoked it. So, you remember who Fernando Tatis Jr. is? He's a shortstop for the Padres. They had him mic'd up, and they were doing an interview on. He was on defense, obviously, playing short.
Yeah.
So, they're doing an interview with Joe Buck and whoever was announcing with them. And he's just like, right away, as soon as it was hit, he's like, oh my God.
That's 468 feet. That is a bomb. What's up with your boy, though? What's up with this cat? What's his name? Soho Hote? Who's the Asian guy that's just balling for the Angels?
Baby. Oh, yeah.
This guy. Shame on you, Stephen A. Smith, by the way, too. But anyways, this guy is balling. Love it. Love to see it. I like to see that stuff. Did he just essentially just come out of nowhere, this guy? Or has he always been good? Or is he...
So he's from Japan, and they knew he was going to be good when he came over, but it was just a matter of how good are you going to be? Like, are you going to be like Hideki Matsui good, which is a really good baseball player, but not Hall of Fame level? And then are you going to be a better pitcher? Like, could you get up to like a Yu Darvish type of a level? Or are you just going to be, like a decent pitcher who's very good? How are you going to be as a hitter? Average, above average? No, this dude is like top five pitcher and top five hitter right now. Like, he's right now, he's the best hitter in baseball. He broke the record. Shattered the record for home runs in a first half.
I'm with you. Determination.
Ohtani's been good since he's been over, right? But dude is balling this year. Like, it's super special what he's doing. If he keeps this up, obviously he's going to the Hall.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Nick is keeping us honest. He was signed in 2017. So the rumor was he wasn't going to sign until 2018 because he could have made more money. And he's like, no, I want to play against good competition, so I'm coming right over. So
I think I remember that actually in 2017, that news. I just remember seeing this Asian guy coming over, and this is big. There's this huge splash about it in American baseball. And I was like, cool. And now fast forward 4 years later, balling.
So Nick is throwing out there the Babe Ruth stat. Balling. The only comparison we really Babe Ruth and Shohei Ohtani. So Babe Ruth was one of the best pitchers in the game before he got traded to the Yankees because he was a Red Sox. And he was a pitcher for the Red Sox, got traded to the Yankees. Then he's a first baseman, and he's the home run king. Like, nobody can.
I'm not impressive.
And he never pitched.
I'm not impressed with Babe Ruth.
So that's really the only comparison we have for a two-way player. At this level. Heads and shoulders above it. I mean, shoulders above it.
I like that take. But yeah, I'm not impressed with Babe Ruth, mainly because back then the sport was not integrated.
No, yeah, I agree. You got to take.
You kept out the best players.
All the stats with a grain of salt in that era. I agree.
And then once the sport became integrated, once they allowed the Negro League to play American baseball, whatever back then when it was called, I can't remember. But what was it, the next 30, or excuse me, the next 19 MVPs, I think 17 of them or 12 of them, something like that, that were handed to a black person.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Page and Josh Gibson could have played in Major League Baseball in their prime, because those stats, like, we could actually have concrete stats, and man, like, that would be so cool. And if you don't know who those people are, like, the myths lot of, like, Josh Gibson, they said, could hit a ball 600 feet. Hey, whether he could or not, that means he's probably hitting it close to 500. Like, you know? So it wasn't the way that it was. I wish it was better now, right? And we could watch games, right?
It's unfortunate.
I do like that they're putting games on YouTube, but you still got to make it easier to watch games, Major League Baseball. You'd have They hate their fans.
We've had so many conversations about this, and it's very annoying to me, because sometimes when I'm just chilling and I'll hop on YouTube TV, I'm like, oh, what just happened? I'm still here.
Yeah, it's like, it's super like behind.
Oh, there it is. It's back. What's going on?
I don't know. Now it's back.
No, that was weird. Frozen.
I like this time. We got a lively chat.
That's frozen pretty good. What the heck is going on? Hold on. We do. Hold on. Let me turn my camera off for a second. Or no. Will it mess up our stream? So I'm going to hardwire. We should be good though, huh?
No, we got to end because I got to get going. So.
Oh, true.
I appreciate Nick and Determination. Thank you for
being
today. This is a lot of fun. Really good sports podcast talking about the Bucks.
This was a good one.
It's exciting. It's exciting. It really, there's no other way to put it. It's so exciting. First 332 games hitting. Nick just threw this out there. Ohtani has 77 home runs. Willie Mays had 72. That is an unreal stat. I did not know. I have not heard that one.
He's playing that well.
Yes, and he's pitching. And he's pitching at a sub 3 ERA level. Like, if he can limit his walks, he could be the best pitcher in the game. The only problem is he walks a few too many hitters. That's it. So if he can keep up, stamina. If he doesn't run out of stamina, he could be the best baseball player of all time. That's where we're at. And I think we just lost Mons. So thank you for tuning in, everybody.
I love it. There he is. An Asian guy, too. I love it.
Yeah. you know what?
Mons, am I still here?
We're going on vacation. We can hear you. So we're going on vacation. Flying out soon. Our sobriety podcast on Sunday probably will not be at the normal time, but we will post something. Right. Something is going to post. We're going to record from our vacation spot. It's going to be pretty cool. And when the Bucks win in 6, baby, we'll be doing something. Bucks in 6. Everybody, you have a good weekend. Try to relax. Indeed. Let's cheer on those Bucks. And be kind to yourself. See ya.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.